Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who hast taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gifts of the same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of the Passover. This is the night when you freed the people of Israel from slavery and led them dry shod through the sea. This is the night when Jesus Christ broke the bonds of death and rose triumphant from the grave. Thus, the great Easter proclamation of the Exultet, which we shall be listening to tonight. But why cannot we stop there with that celebration of fire, of light, and of singing and reading? Why cannot we have some sort of celebration as we're about to have for VE Day, but not having to wait every 50 years, celebrating it only once a year? Why do we go on to have the Mass tonight? Why the Eucharist? Our Lord himself provides the answer. Do this in memory of me. We are called upon to be doers, not simply listeners, participants in the work of our redemption, not simply spectators. The sacraments provide us with this opportunity for participating. After the Exultet and the readings tonight, had we a font, it would then be blessed. We haven't one. Then the litany of saints, but not those. So blessing of water, but we do share with those who have fonts that we shall renew our baptismal promises. In the Roman churches, the basilicas, the layout is so much clearer as to the symbolism of baptism. The catechumen walks three steps down into the font and is completely immersed. So that we not only appreciate all that our Lord has done on our behalf, but we also share with him, share in his royal sufferings, but also participate in his dying for us. We die, not literally, but we die in sacrament, in water, in baptism. As St. Paul says, we are buried with Christ in the tomb. Die with him. But that tomb is also a womb in which we are reborn. The triple disunity of original sin is remedied in that womb. We are reborn to a oneness with God by receiving his life, a oneness with one another. Those who share the same womb are brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, and a restored oneness within ourselves. So with Christ, we rise out of the tomb of the font, reborn in his risen life. Were we catechumens as adults, we would then be confirmed immediately, as were those in days gone by. But since most of us were baptized as infants, our confirmation is delayed. And it's such an important sacrament. I know those of you, as parents, are anxious that your children should be confirmed. But it must be their own free decision. They must say of themselves, I wish to confirm what was done on my behalf as an infant. I wish to stand up and be a committed Christian. Allowing your children then full participation in the work of the redemption by freely accepting confirmation. Our Eucharist tonight is a meal. When our Lord was transfigured, he spoke to Moses and Elijah. And the drift of his conversation was about his forthcoming Exodus. Picking up, of course, the Exodus referred to in the Exultet, of the people of Israel from Egypt. It was an exodus accompanied by a meal. Christ's forthcoming exodus was similarly to be accompanied by a meal. We celebrated the Last Supper the day before yesterday. And each one of us, in our own exodus, are also preparing for that event by sharing this meal. The Passover meal, in which the people of Israel, Christ, and ourselves pass over from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, and from death to life. But what is it that we actually go to Mass to do? What do we do at Mass? We go to Mass to give. And when you give, it is yourself that you give to another. I don't know whether you know Father Hubert's Kaleidoscope, a volume of essays on different topics. And one of the essays was called The Whittle Covenant. The covenant being that each member of the family had to give a gift to any guest that came to the house. So this occasion, there was a visitor, and the eldest daughter gave something which cost her, and everybody approved. And the second daughter did the same, and everybody approved. The youngest daughter proffered a comb, and there was a groan, because it hadn't cost her anything. She rushed upstairs and came down clasping a battered pincushion in the form of a frog in her hands. And she handed this over to the guest. There was a gasp of wonder from the rest of the family. This was the child's most treasured possession. When we give ourselves, and it is costing. We cannot give of our superfluity. In love, we give of our substance. Now, this giving is the participation in the work of the redemption. We don't plunge into water again to die and rise. This time, we participate by giving. We give gifts of bread and wine. Now, by ourselves, and cut off from God as we were, our gifts, full of meaning, take me, Lord, all I have and am, full of meaning, but devoid of value. So, Christ himself takes our gifts, our bread and our wine, so meaningful, and charges them with his infinite value. And here we see the differences between the general priesthood, in which we all share, we all give as Christ gives, but only those ordained in the ministerial priesthood can take the part of Christ, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood." But all of us, as priests, as participating in Christ's priesthood, offer bread and wine, offer ourselves, our lives to God. And in the offering, it becomes Christ's offering. And together, Christ and his members, Christ and ourselves, offer the most perfect sacrifice to God. A participating in the work of the redemption. A dying, a rising, an ascending. In that giving, our giving, Christ's giving, the giving of the whole body, head, and members. Now, Father Clifford Howell, in his work of the redemption, then goes on to explain so well, I think, what happens next. He says, if you have a row with anybody, and you've upset that person, well, if it's not too serious, you can say sorry verbally, and your apology will be accepted. If, however, it's something rather more serious, you might bring along a box of chocolates. Take this box as a token of my apology. And you who've been offended, what do? If you accept the apology, you open the box, you offer the person who's offended you a chocolate, you have a chocolate yourself. so that the gifts that we have given, full of our meaning, charged with the infinite value, Christ's body and blood, come back to us. And here again, we look to help for explanation. Saint Augustine refers to the bread of our communion as being made up of different grains of wheat. Each one of these grains represents one individual human being. All those grains together ground in penance, kneaded in the waters of baptism, baked in the fires of the Holy Spirit. So that our communion is a sacrament of at-one-ment, atonement. Through it, through nourishment, bodily nourishment, we are made one with God and one with one another. And the wine, that is the lifeblood of the body, love for God and love for one another. Thus, the participation in the mystery of Christ's redeeming work, in which we take that part through sharing in his priesthood. But the Mass mustn't be an isolated event once a week or whenever we choose to go. There should be interaction between Mass and daily living. When I was at convent school, my mother arranged for me to play the piano. I was very lazy, and I don't think I liked my piano teacher. And I'm afraid she always complained that it was a waste of her time because I never practiced between lessons. Mass and living should interact. The lesson of the Mass should be lived in our daily life of giving to God and one another, and receiving. And that living experience enriching the liturgical participation in the Eucharist of giving and receiving. We share in Christ's prophetical work as anointed in his likeness. We share in that every time we participate in Mass. We are lit by the light of his mental illumination. We participate in Christ's priesthood, in our offering and in our reception of the gifts returned and the at-one-ment made so much dearer and closer. And finally, in the Mass, we celebrate a foretaste, an earnest of the royal kingdom that is promised as ours. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Amen.
Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Our Lady, seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
And thank you so much for being such a wonderful audience, and a happy Easter.